I'm so glad to be here with you guys this morning. It's been a number of years that you guys have been supporting and partnering with us, and so it's so exciting that we're finally able to see each other face to face. I wanted to let you know that it's interesting that as I was looking through some notes a few months ago, or maybe it was last year, I had a handout from this youth event. So we had been youth pastors in Boston during seminary, and we had gone to Midwinter one time, and I didn't realize it at the time, but then now looking back, Scott was giving one of the seminars or workshops that I attended. So we had met 13 or 14 years ago, I don't know when, but he's been such an encouragement of, as we send out our newsletters month in, month out, of just encouraging and sharing of what's happening here. And so I feel like we've already known a little bit of your story, and it's been exciting to see as you guys have been few steps ahead of us in terms of planting a church, and now of planting another church last year. It's inspiring for us, and so I'm so glad that we're able to finally be here with you today. As you met my wife Mio, and we have two daughters, Allie and Zoe, who are up here journaling and doing their notes. But we've been serving as Evangelical Covenant Church missionaries for the last 12 years, and we started our church 7 years ago. So we wanted to. We're back here for 6 months. We have three weeks left until we return to Tokyo, but it's so exciting to be able to share with you a little bit of what God is doing. And so I want to start off by saying I hate languages. It may be shocking, especially in the fact that I am working in Japan, and I had worked in France, and I've preached now in Japanese, English, and French. But maybe you're like me, and languages are so difficult. It's not easy. So from kindergarten all the way through grad school, the only times that I ever had a C was in high school in French and Greek and Bible college. And so it's so ironic of how God has worked in my life of like, this is not natural to me, but he's used me in these other places. And so I still have a long way to go with my Japanese. Our daughters are amazing as they're in Japanese school. But over these dozen years of living in Japan, there's been definitely this love-hate relationship with language of knowing I need to have it, especially to communicate and connect with people and build relationships. But at the same time, it's so frustrating as it feels like I take two steps forward and one step back, and it's so hard to remember things and engage. But what was amazing was as I was learning Japanese, there's words that don't exist in English. And that's there's limitations in any language. You'll find limitations of English words and Spanish and French, whatever language you may speak, you realize there's not quite these expressions, these ideas that can communicate. And so in Hebrew, we see the limitations of what gets translated of words like hesed, which we translate as mercy or loving kindness, but it's deeper and more beautiful than that. Another word is shalom, which we just translate as peace, but it's much deeper than just surface peace. It's harmony. It's profound. And so things can get lost in translation. So this morning, what I want to do is share with you God's heart and God's dream for what the church can be by exploring three Japanese words with you. And then sharing, weaving in stories of how God is at work in our church in Tokyo as well. And so I want us to think about who are we becoming as a community? So the first word is sundoku. The two Japanese characters mean piling up or amassing and read. And the unique thing is there's no equivalent word in English. But basically it means you're accumulating all these books, but you're not reading them. They're just stacking up, collecting dust. I don't know if you're guilty of that at all, but given how most homes, especially apartments in Tokyo, are so small, it doesn't take long for things to get overwhelmingly packed. And so as you might see in this picture, you can see some of the books that people may accumulate and how it just covers up the entire room. Even though mostly now I use Logos Bible software, ebooks, because I don't have much bookshelf space, it doesn't mean that I can't just buy books and it just is there in my library just waiting to be opened up at some point. Maybe it's not books for you, but it's so easy to accumulate different things, right? And you might start with the best of intentions. It might be something good or actually useful and necessary, but how easily it is that you buy something with the intention of using it regularly, and it just sits in the attic, sits in the basement, sits in the garage, and doesn't do anything. That's actually worked to our advantage. Coming back here for these 6 months is being able to borrow somebody's car that they didn't need on a regular basis. There's another guy that used to be in our youth group, and it's so funny because in my mind he's still a high schooler, but he just had a baby and got married last year and had a baby this year. He's now 30 years old, but it's like, you're still a high school kid. But he's one of the few left-handed guys that I know in Boston, so I was able to borrow his golf club because as a new father, he's not playing golf much these last few months. So it's worked to my advantage of being able to receive things that people aren't using. But God has given us gifts, talents, resources, possessions to be used for His glory. So why do I bring up this word? I feel like the image of hoarding books really is related to how we use what God has given us. How we've been designed. And one of the missions at Tokyo Life Church is to help people connect to God's purposes. And one aspect is using our gifts for God and for the community. And so our church is now 7 years old. And for the last year and a half, we've been a church that had been online. And so during that time, it's hard to get back those rhythms as we started to gather back in person. And we needed to return for our six-month home assignment. So we knew that this is an adjustment not only to gather back together, but also with us removed, people of the church need to take ownership that this is your church. We need everybody to be serving and engaged. And so from the beginning, especially as we had two young girls, we knew that we cannot do this if everything is on our shoulders. Not much ministry and mission is going to happen. But together as a team, this is how it needs to work. And so as we know for many Japanese churches, a lot is expected of the pastor. You're trained, you're equipped, you're the best teacher, you know how to lead things, you do these things. And we pay you for that rather than feeling like we are a team equipped together and taking ownership. And so during the pandemic, as people's involvement was limited, instead of having about 30 people serving on any given Sunday, it was just a handful of us who are recording the message, leading the children's ministry through Zoom, and doing a few other things. And so it got very small of who actually served. And so it was easy that people's kind of serving ministry muscles atrophied during that time. So it's easy to fall into kind of this passive rhythm of our faith. But as Ed Stetzer, author and professor, points out, the moment we are in has not paused the mission we are on. God is still at work during the pandemic. Just because we didn't meet doesn't mean that things stopped and God's Spirit was absent. He's still at work right now as we came back together. And God wants all of us to be engaged in His mission. And this idea is based on Ephesians 4. Paul is writing about God giving the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, all these things, not so much they're doing the ministry, but says they're equipped, or they're given to equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up and become mature. So the intention has never been these pioneers and these pastors do everything for the church, but do ministry with the church. That we're not passive recipients, but engaged participants, teammates, co-workers. We don't become mature just by taking notes, but by using and living out our faith together. So as I said before, one of the negative traits of many traditional Japanese churches is that so much is expected of the pastor that you're the one who is trained and equipped to preach and to teach and do evangelism. You're the expert. But it can sideline so many people if we just kind of attend but don't really do much. Who am I? I can't speak. I can't share my faith. I can't do these things. I'm not gifted in that way. But in the early days of our church, we knew that a team was so critical. With only a few hands, most people would be engaged in all kinds of ministry. And I'm sure it's probably here, the same here too, is you might be wearing multiple hats, even on a simple, just on one Sunday morning, that you're setting things up and you're leading on worship team and you're greeting people. It might be all sorts of different things. And it was such a beautiful thing because we felt like a family, that everybody was needed, everybody had a place, and everybody had something to offer. And as we've grown, it's easy to think like, oh, there's enough other people that can sing. There's enough other people that can teach or interpret or do whatever it may take. They're more gifted than me, and so we can disengage. But our goal is to become like Christ, to become mature in our faith. And it doesn't happen just by learning more things. But God has made you unique, and He's gifted you in a certain way. You may have had particular experiences that God can use and redeem to be encouraging, to be inspiring to other people, to come alongside others. So you don't want to waste that up by just piling up like those books that just sit on the shelves, do nothing. We don't want to hoard the treasure that God has given us, but to unleash whatever God has given us for the community and for God's glory. So we're designed to connect with God's purposes. Not to be sundoku, where we just accumulate and leave unused. Like the man who got that talent and just buried it in the ground and didn't use it for anything. He squandered what God gave him and missed out on being a blessing. The second word is kizuna. And after the 311, so in 2011, there was a huge tsunami, earthquakes, radiation, everything, the triple disaster that happened. At the end of the year, that happened in March, at the end of the year, they always choose some of the time, there's like the word of the year, there's a kanji of the year, kind of like it encapsulates, this is kind of what's happening in culture and politics and the world, whatever it may be. And this word, kizuna, was chosen for that year. And what it means is thread and middle. And so the meaning is kind of this bond and connection between people. And as you can imagine, after that natural disaster, people needed to rally together, to work together, to rebuild, to overcome, and to get back to a healthy place. And the amazing thing was the unity and the bond that we had as Christians. So churches and denominations from all over, the same goal. We were on the same mission of helping people be cared for, bringing food, clearing out the debris of people that have lost their homes. Everybody working together on the same mission and being unified to serve together, to care for these people who had lost everything. The amazing thing was seeing that Japanese value of harmony also lived out. One of the beautiful things that we saw was at the stores, and this would not happen in America, but at the stores there'd be a sign that says, take 2 bottles of water per family, 1 bag of rice per family, because if you take what you need and I get what I need, everybody's going to be fine. Where here it's like, if I don't take it now, these shelves are going to be wiped out. But just a sense of we're in this together. If we look out for one another, then we can overcome. It was amazing that at the train stations, a lot of the escalators were just turned off. And so to save energy, because the power plant was facing radiation leakage, it's like, what can we do together? So it just became the staircase. In office buildings, they would just turn up the AC a couple degrees and just shed some of the suits and ties, because as 35 million people in Tokyo, if we just increase that, that can help out alleviate some of this so we don't have roaming blackouts. We don't have to face even worse situations in a few months. Everybody felt, I can chip in together. Together, we're going to get through this. And that's what's allowed even in this pandemic. One of their strengths and weaknesses of every culture. And I remember in March 2020, as things were starting to pick up, and as everything kind of came to a halt here in America, just feeling like, of knowing, especially coming from the Midwest, like of knowing how people live, this is not going to end well. It's hard to have, I love my freedoms, I love my choices to do what I want to do. And so that was one of the beautiful things we saw in Japan, is everybody felt like, whether it was wearing masks or just doing whatever it took for making schools function. That was one of the fun things to see for our girls, is having a few months of school at home was really difficult, as we're homeschooling in a sense for those months and still preaching every week and doing ministries. Like, it's really hard to juggle both. And so I feel for especially many parents that were juggling their work of working from home and raising their kids, especially the kids were really young. And so we knew, like, we're going to do whatever it takes to get the kids back in school. And so it was taking the temperature every morning, having them bring their own lunch and sit at their desk so they don't talk with other people. All these things that were sacrifices, but it allowed them to get back so much faster. It's one of the things that we love to say in the ECC is that we are in it together. We're on this mission working together as a team. So I'm so thankful that this was the attitude in our church and our society. Because God didn't design us to be on our own. We're created for relationships. Relationship with God himself, but also with others. And that's the beauty and the power of the church. Some of the images that we see in the Bible are we're God's family. We're the body of Christ. We're members. We're brothers and sisters. We're co-workers in God's work. We're teammates. And God designed us to connect with God's people. So in Ephesians 4, the few verses after the verse we just looked at says, instead, speaking the truth in love, you will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. As the body of Christ, we're the ligaments, we're the threads that are connected together. Using the image in 1 Corinthians 12, it says that we're the body, and some of us may be the elbow, some of us may be the feet, but all of us are necessary for the body to function. We all have been gifted in different ways, but all of us are needed. Being part of the body allows us to grow and be built up. And your presence also helps build up others. Of you lacking to be here, or choosing to stay home or do whatever, it robs everybody else of being encouraged and inspired by your life and investment in their lives. And so I realize that many of us, it may be hard to get back in those habits and those rhythms that have been so easy to fall away in these past couple years. We're hesitant to serve in certain ways because of concerns for different things. But your community needs your presence. A couple years ago, there's a couple, Maggie and Yuki, who were college students, but they joined our church. Maggie, they'd met in Australia as they were studying abroad, and they were dating, and so as they moved back to Tokyo, they joined our church, and Yuki wasn't a Christian yet, but he started getting connected to our community and our college ministry, and started getting serving in different ways, and just like feeling like this is a family. And it was so amazing that despite that short time, they really felt like this church was her family. And so during the pandemic, Maggie had to return back to Hong Kong, but she stayed so connected to our church, especially through our online services and through life groups and things like that. And it was through the pandemic that her faith began to grow. And she began to say, I want to take that step of getting baptized, but I want to do it at Tokyo Life Church because I feel like this is my family. And so it worked out that at the Olympics that was postponed a year, she was able to work as a videographer for one of the events, and so was able to come to Japan, which is a miracle that even happened, and then stay a couple weeks after the Paralympics. And so we were able to have this outdoor baptism with some of the people from her small group gathering together to celebrate this step in her life as she's publicly demonstrating her faith. But it's amazing that God is working in people's lives, and they're parts of the community, that we need each other. And so our dream is whether we're 15 people or 150 people or whatever size, we'll still have this culture of being a family, and that community is so important. Imagine that value similar here. And so despite Tokyo being the largest city in the world, it can be one of the loneliest. You're surrounded by people in your apartment complexes, on the train, you're packed into the train, but everybody is a stranger. And so it's amazing that you have long work hours, that you have very little time for relationships and for family. So people are starving for connection. And that was one of the driving forces of why we wanted to start a church, is knowing that people are going through depression, going through loneliness, that they need a community. It was really sad. We, years ago, had met this Japanese teen who wasn't a Christian, and started coming to the youth ministry that we started. And what we heard from her as she started to open up with Mio is that her parents were going through this divorce, which is very rare in Japan. But her mom was saying, don't talk about this with your friends. Don't tell your teacher. Don't tell the neighbors. There's a sense of shame about a broken relationship. And so just like, keep this. So as a 16-year-old, your world is falling apart, and you just have to kind of bottle it up and hold it in yourself. But she finally was able to share this with Mio, and Mio was able to talk and kind of comfort her and pray with her. And we just felt like this is why we need to be and start a church community, that people have all these things that they don't have an outlet to share, the hurts, the pains, the devastations they've experienced. We need community in one another. We felt that need of community, especially in the pandemic. There's nobody that we lost immediately in our church community, but we had several families where they had brothers back in the Philippines that passed away in their 40s and able to grieve with them. We had a family that was so protective of staying safe and staying healthy, and then right at the due date had a stillborn baby. And their family couldn't come into the country to be with them. And so they just had to process this alone, but we're able to have our church community be that family for them, to walk with them in one of the most dark periods of their life. So we're thankful that we have this community that can walk with one another when things are so difficult. But we also found that evangelism happens first by having people feel like they can belong before they have to feel like they have to believe. People are desperate for friendship and for community. People might visit our church for all kinds of different reasons, but they might be just wanting to practice English or looking for friends. But whatever that motivation, we want to be there for them, to form a relationship, to allow them to be a part of the community that builds trust, that then opens the door for them to learn about Jesus at a later point. Because most Japanese people have never met a Christian in their life, and they know nothing about Jesus or the Bible. And so the little that they see in our community communicates, who is God like? They're living witnesses, whether for good or bad. And so the church at its best fosters true community, a safe place where we can be known, where we can be honest with one another, and where we can find strength and hope to grow. So God desires us to connect with God's people. Like he's in that thread, that those connections are so important. And as a pastor, I it's easy to say that I took Sundays for granted. This is every week I show up, I see people's faces, and you don't really think too much. But when that was taken away, when I don't see these faces, I'm seeing them through the little box of Zoom, I realize how much I miss this, of being together, talking face to face. And when we finally had an outdoor gathering of being ever, like, that joy that I felt was so deep because I'd lost that for a few months, realizing how much we need each other. The final word is kintsugi. The two characters mean gold and patch or graft. And so one day I hope to have one of these beautiful, unique pottery pieces. I'm not sure how it originally started, but I imagine some potter had some broken pieces that it was felt like, this is trash, I should just toss it away. But I had an idea of maybe I can salvage something from this cracked vase or cup or whatever it may be. And by mixing together some gold lacquer mixing gold into the lacquer, it not only repaired this broken and worthless piece, but it transformed it into a work of art. Those cracks may have been embarrassing reminders of our brokenness or something that should be hidden. And yet now that's the focal point of the beauty. In the hands of that master artisan, what was wasted or ruined actually became restored to something better than it originally was. And that's the story of our hands, or our lives in the hands of God. Before Christ, no matter how much we had success or achievements or accomplishments, we were broken and we were disconnected from God. We were all in need of hope, of being restored. And God designed us to connect with Him personally. So that's what drove us to start Tokyo Life Church. There's millions of people around us that know nothing about God's love and the possibility of this relationship. To find true life, to find hope. It's one of the amazing realities in God's kingdom is that He uses ordinary and broken people like us to be used for something powerful. Paul uses this odd metaphor. He calls us jars of clay that display the power of God through Him, not from ourselves. And I love this pottery image because we're vessels. We're used by God for His glory. A pottery might be weak or fragile, but in the right hands, it can bring water to the thirsty, food to the hungry, life to those who are desperate and need. It may not be fancy, beautiful, ornate, but useful in God's hands. In the earlier letter of the Corinthian church, he reminds us how God uses the foolish to shame the wise. And so we might not be from noble birth, but God can use us in amazing ways when we're dedicated to Him. So like that gold-lined pottery, He can take normal vessels and transform them into something special. But I never would have imagined as a boy from Des Moines, Iowa, being used in one of the largest cities of the world, reaching people from all sorts of different backgrounds. I wouldn't have imagined that as a young boy who had a speech impediment, being a communicator now teaching, preaching to Japanese students and international students at Tokyo Christian University. Whatever our background, God can use us in amazing ways. And so it's easy to see what we lack or our failures and kind of write ourselves off, and yet God can use each of us in unimaginable ways. He can change us. He can patch our broken parts. He can redeem us to something better than we were. And one of the amazing things was that about a year ago, God put this burden on our hearts to start reaching out. There's a number of homeless people in the Ikebukuro area of Tokyo. And we heard more and more stories. Because of COVID, there's now younger people and moms with kids that were on the streets because they lost their jobs. But like, we need to do something. And so we began by starting serving meals to them every month. And just starting to build relationships and getting to know them. And as they're lined up, we try to talk to them, get to know their name, and hear their stories. And there's a time where Mio is able to talk with one guy, and there's a guy behind that other guy that didn't say anything that day, but just was listening. But the amazing thing was, because of Mio's story of going through depression in high school, able to share, like, why are you doing this? How did you become a pastor? What's all this? Telling her story of how God had used her painful past to bring her hope, she's able to connect with these people who are also in need, in desperate need of hope. And that guy behind Kaneko-san didn't say anything that day, but he came back the next month and he says, "You know what? Last month I overheard your conversation with this other guy, and I knew at that moment I could trust you." And he began to ask us to pray with him. And so every month as he comes back, he'll pull one of us aside and talk with us for like 20 minutes and then have us pray with him. And it's such a beautiful thing that because we are able to share, hey, here's what God has done through our brokenness to give us hope, that we're able to be this light in the lives of other people. Author Henry Nouwen wrote a book called The Wounded Healer. And I felt like such a beautiful image that we've all experienced certain pain, but God has healed us and uses that to bring healing to other people as well. We've been restored by God, and He can use us, despite or maybe because of our particular painful past. But God's desire is for us to connect with Him personally, and to help others connect to God. That way our broken part can be restored to something beautiful in the whole. So God's dream for the church is for us to connect with Him personally, connect with God's people, and connect with God's purposes. That's my hope for our church, and that's my hope for your church as well. That we're actively engaged in God's purposes in our world. We're connected as a community. And we draw others to discover the life and hope that is found in Him. So, Sindoku, Kizuna, Kintsugi. We're connecting to God's purposes, God's people, and God's purposes. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father God, we thank You for the way that You have been at work here in Modesto, in Tokyo, all around the world. God, bringing hope to those who are in desperate need. God, we ask that You continue to use us as a church, as a community, to care for one another, encourage one another, and to live out Your purposes of bringing life-giving message and hope that we found in You to our city. God, may You allow us to be open, be used by You,
simple ways we put on. But God, may our hearts be drawn to that. Be part of the kind of church that you're doing for us. And we pray all these things in your name.